This is the new Kiss 104.1, today's R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. The big game, Super Bowl 53, kicks off at Mercedes-Benz Stadium February 3rd, 2019. Can you believe it? But the plans for the big game have been in motion since Atlanta won the bid in May of 2016. We're less than a year away from the city hosting its third Super Bowl. And to bring us up to date about plans and volunteer opportunities are my guests, Brett Daniels, Chief Operating Officer of the Super Bowl Host Committee, and Lee Hendrickson, Vice President of Community Engagement and Volunteer Programs. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I mean, what have you been doing since 2016, Mr. Daniels?
Not enough, I don't think, as the days are counting down here. We really got our staff up and running on a small scale last year going into the Super Bowl in Houston. We're able to get a few people out there to observe things and happen in and around the city and watch the our home team Falcons participate in that one. Hopefully we'll have a little better outcome when the Falcons play here in February of 19. But begin our learnings there, and throughout last year kind of ramped up our staff, you know, put our team together. We're up to about 20 employees now at the host committee, and really diving into the work. Coming out of Minnesota was really when we really felt that sense of urgency. We got everybody's attention on us. You know, the NFL turned their focus from Minnesota to Atlanta. And we really feel like we're on the clock, and things are really getting done now.
So I have to ask you also, Miss Daniels, Miss Hendrickson, you're the person who's got to get the community involved. What did you learn in Minneapolis, since this was your first Super Bowl, that is applicable to Atlanta?
I have a lot of notes. Really great experience in Minnesota to learn about how they were able to bring the community together in a few different ways. Their volunteer base was incredible. Crew 52 is one that we bonded with instantly, and I think a few of those are excited to make the trip down south for Super Bowl 53. And just to really understand the variety of community events and initiatives that we have going on was a great experience. One of the ones that was most exciting probably for me in Minnesota was the Business Connect culminating event. So that was a great chance for us to learn more about what Business Connect is and all of the work that had been put in the year leading up to make it a really special year for local businesses across Minnesota. So really excited to bring that here to Atlanta.
So what is Business Connect?
So Business Connect is a way to extend the NFL's supplier diversity program here to our host city. So we're able to recruit our certified diverse local businesses to come on board, fill out an application with us to be considered to go into a resource guide so that any company who's coming into town related to Super Bowl event planning and event production is able to access this resource guide and understand the amazing local businesses we have already in place who are experts in supporting event production. So it's a great chance for us to learn more about local certifying agencies. We've been hard at work working with them, with the city of Atlanta, so that any business in the local metro Atlanta area in that 20 county region who's been here for at least 3 years and is a little bit well established will be able to consider joining us. And the certifications we're looking at are minority, woman, veteran, and LGBTQ certified businesses who can participate in this. We'll have networking events and programming opportunities throughout the year so they can grow and develop as a business in ways that will have a lasting impact beyond February of 2019.
So, Mr. Daniels, I have to ask you, when we talk about business, the business of this game is really enormous. But the city will spend, I think, about $46 million to get them here?
That's part of our host committee commitment, some of the obligations of the bid. So we take that on as the host committee to help fund this and put this all together. And really what our host committee, you know, is here to do is really kind of provide that Atlanta touch, that Atlanta feel to the game. You know, the NFL has specific events and things that they bring from city to city. And so, you know, two teams are coming. You have to have practice sites. You have to have hotel rooms. You have to have some of those specific things that are in place in every city. But then it's our task to go out and find a way to make this feel unique and different to Atlanta as compared to what we saw in Houston or in Minnesota. Give it that Atlanta flavor and let people see and feel what Atlanta is today. You know, It's been 19 years since this game was here. A lot of people haven't been back to Atlanta since that game. And so it's a completely different city that we have here today. And we want to show everyone across the world, and especially here in the United States, what Atlanta has become in the time since the game was last played here. And this is just a great platform and a great opportunity to do that.
So who is helping to fund this? Because I know it's just not the host committee. Are there businesses that have signed up?
Yeah, we are fortunate to be supported by a number of local Atlanta businesses here that came in, you know, as a civic pride play and came in to support the game and to support our efforts. That was one of the things that helped Atlanta win the bid. They supported the committee during the bid process so that the city of Atlanta could take a funded bid up to New York to say, not only do we want to have this, but we've got the people backing it up to support it as we go into it.
Now, you were at Super Bowl the first time it was here. That was in 94.
Yeah.
And then you went to Minneapolis. What did you learn in Minneapolis that is applicable to Atlanta? And what mistakes, I don't want to say mistakes because we don't want to criticize, what things would you do differently for Minneapolis?
Yeah. You know, I came out of Minneapolis and I told everyone, I don't know what they could have done any better the way they put the game on. Everybody talks about the weather up there. They knew it was going to be cold. There's no doubt about that. They embraced that. They made that a part of everything that they did. They didn't want to hide that. That was just going to be a piece of it. And so that made it unique, some of the things that they were able to do there. You know, we took that away. One of the things we learned here, not only from what we saw in Minnesota, but also our experiences during the college football playoff, is you don't know what the weather is going to be in Atlanta. And we can't hide from that. We saw what happened in 2000 with the weather here.
Ice storm.
We want to make sure that we're prepared. I've told everybody we need to prepare for the worst and expect the best, so that we cover the gamut there and we create activities, events throughout the course of Super Bowl week that can take place regardless of the weather, you know, indoors, outdoors, whatever those may be, that we're prepared for all of those things across the way. So we learned a little bit of that from Minnesota as we talk about them embracing the weather and embracing what the bold north, as they called it, is all about.
Well, one of the things they learned when the college football championship was held here is that MARTA was a problem at 5 points. And then they also learned it was difficult to get into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It was very slow. So how are you all coordinating that so that with MARTA and also with Mercedes-Benz?
Sure. There were some definitely unique challenges that got thrown at us at the last minute during the college football playoff that we all learned from. I know Mercedes-Benz Stadium has been working since the day they opened to make that place even better. I mean, I think that's what any great venue does. They don't open the doors and think that they've already got it all figured out. They see how the building operates, and they continue to strive to do things better and better each and every time they open the doors over there. And I think they've addressed a lot of those issues here during the off season, adding additional doors, creating some spaces in hallways that maybe not have been there in the past, once they see how the building operates. It's no different what's happening here than what happened in Minnesota a couple of years ago. There's a reason why the NFL waits a couple of years before they bring the Super Bowl into a new stadium, so that people are able to work out some of those kinks and really learn how the building operates and moves. And then as far as MARTA, we've already partnered with them, working closely with them, had their entire senior leadership team in a meeting last week with the NFL. They're fully supportive of this, and we're going to work collaboratively across the board. We know the value of MARTA, not just on game day for the fans, but really throughout the week as the residents of Atlanta take MARTA down into the downtown area to take part in all the things happening on the Congress Center campus, in the park, Phillips Arena, and all of the activities in that part of town. And then also for those people who work downtown and need MARTA. We know that there are specific transportation challenges when an event like the Super Bowl comes into a city like Atlanta, street closures, schedule changes, and things of that nature. And so we want to make sure that we can limit the impact we have on the lives of the citizens here of Atlanta as they go about their daily lives, as well as take care of those fans that come into town to experience the Super Bowl.
Well, that brings up the next question. Security is always an issue. And we saw what happened during the Olympics in 1996, and everyone is so afraid. Could something like that happen again? We saw something happen in Las Vegas. So I know you can't detail the exact security procedures that will be in place, but how are you handling security as vaguely as you can tell me?
Well, security is obviously a priority, and this is a national event. So there are a number of resources that are able to come to the table from the federal level. So the FBI, Homeland Security, and other agencies, federal agencies, step up to the table and really help support this. They work hand in hand with the Atlanta Police Department, Atlanta Fire and Rescue, the Georgia State Patrol, all of those agencies all come together. They work collaboratively to build a security plan that, and put that in place across the entire campus over the entire really 2-week period from when the layout and the construction begins all the way through game day while the teams are here, taking into account all the various challenges, starting with the airports, the number of flights coming in, the private aviation, the things that go on there, working closely with the FAA. It's a very synchronized, very collaborative process that everyone goes through to make sure that everybody feels safe and secure, but not overwhelmed with it to where it feels like it's a, you know, military state. We still want everybody to feel safe, feel comfortable, but have a great time and not feel like that's hanging over their heads.
So I wonder how the volunteers that you will be, I don't want to say hiring because you're not, but selecting, Ms. Hendrickson, how are you getting them involved in the security area? If you see something, say something.
See something, say something is always a good idea. So absolutely, we'll be encouraging that. We will also make sure that our volunteer team is trained. So we'll go through in the month of January some role-specific training for them, and that will include a public safety component to understand more about what the plan is and how to be an active part of supporting that so that our volunteers feel safe, but they're also part of promoting safety for everyone. So being able to engage with our operations team and make sure that we have information available to them in advance so that they come in prepared and educated is going to be really important to us. Also, just some things from a social awareness perspective. We want to make sure our volunteers have an opportunity to be ambassadors. And we know that we have a lot of guests coming in, but we also have a lot of commuters. We have a lot of residents who are all in this space. And so making sure our volunteers are prepared to know what resources are available for anyone who may need help or may need extra resources beyond our Super Bowl guests will be important to us. And then kind of working backwards from there, as to your point, we're not hiring volunteers, but we are absolutely selecting volunteers. We want the best of the best. So we will be interviewing face-to-face over the summer our entire volunteer population to make sure that we select the best of the best. And then we'll be conducting background checks on that group just to make sure we know from a safety perspective that we are where we need to be with Team ATL.
10,000 volunteers you need?
Yes, 10,000. We're looking for up to 10,000 volunteers to be part of Team ATL. So it's been quite an effort. We just launched a couple weeks ago, and we've already seen an incredible response. We have over 10,000 who have already registered, which is incredible. But we want that number to continue ticking upward because we do want to be selective, and we know that things change. We know this is a commitment for people. So as they learn more and as jobs change or lives change, they may not be able to follow through with something in January that they thought they wanted to do in April. So with that in mind, we'd really like to encourage as many people as possible to apply now if you're interested in being part of Super Bowl 53. Through the volunteer program so that we can consider you and get you engaged over the summer.
So the big question is, what would I be doing as a volunteer?
That's a great question, and I get that a lot. So we have a couple different things. Let me just preface this by what you will not be doing, because I know a lot
you
of
know
people...
You know that's the question was next.
Yes.
We could easily get our 10,000 volunteers to help out on game day. That's
right. Yes.
Right? We could, but we can't because we don't have that as a role. So that, just to clarify up front, really want to make sure there's no confusion and disappointment there. As much as we would love to, we know that Mercedes-Benz Stadium does a fantastic job of staffing the stadium, so there will be no volunteer needs inside the stadium on game day. But what our volunteers will be doing is over the 10, 11, 12 days leading up to Super Bowl and then through Super Bowl to the day after when people are leaving town, our volunteers are going to be a force of welcoming them in when they get off the plane, when they're coming into town, when they arrive at their hotels, when they experience free events like Super Bowl Live, which is really exciting. Our volunteers are going to be there to welcome people, to make sure they can answer questions, and to really elevate the guest experience throughout the week. So you'll see some fun custom designed uniforms and some hallmark ways to identify Team ATL so that everyone, whether they're residents or guests coming in, knows that this crew is here to help.
Well, I guess this question goes to both of you, and that is, what's the benefit of being a volunteer if you can't see the game?
Well, those custom design uniforms are pretty hot ticket items, I have to tell you. In our experience hosting the College Football Playoff National Championship, we had some scarves that I think were we could have sold on the street. But they were exclusive. They were limited to the volunteer program. So this will involve a custom designed uniform. You'll have the official host committee Super Bowl logo as part of that. So there's some really nice takeaways. Everybody loves a little bit of swag. And then we'll work throughout the year to really engage this population in unique ways, provide them some access and some insight. But for a lot of people who do this type of thing on a regular basis, you know, we have an incredible volunteer spirit that's already in the city of Atlanta. So for our regular volunteers who are out in the community, this is something that's fun and different for them. You don't get to be part of a Super Bowl every day. And for our sports fans, they like being affiliated. They like being part of owning that hosting experience to bring the Super Bowl in. So we really like the idea that we're bringing these groups together for a common purpose of representing Atlanta. And we'll do our best to take care of them and make sure they have fun along the way.
Mr. Daniels.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a part of being a part of a team. You know, we call it Team ATL. It's that shared experience of bringing people together to be a part of something bigger. And they get to be a part of that. They get to participate. We'll have activities during the fall, some training sessions, pep rallies and things of that nature. Obviously, the uniqueness of the uniform. And I think that that heritage of support dates back to the Olympics in 96 and what we saw here with the volunteers that became such a vital part of the Olympic success and how that has continued, that legacy. I know just a couple of years ago, the 20th anniversary, there were reunions of those volunteers that brought those people back together. You know, to have that shared experience and to bring people together to talk about it, talk about the great memories that they built, the opportunities they had to be a part of that event and that experience. We know at the end of the day, there's only going to be 70,000 tickets to the Super Bowl. And most of those probably aren't going to be used by folks here in Atlanta. So how else can we engage the community and engage the folks here to be a part of the game? And the volunteer program is one of the ways that they can some way touch, be a piece and be a part of what's going on with the Super Bowl here. And so that's what we're looking for, those passionate, energetic folks that really want to be a part of the team.
Well, let's go back to talking about the big game. The halftime show is always the highlight. And in 94, we had country music. And then in 2000, you know, we really had some great Disney-themed show with Tony Braxton in it and Enrique Iglesias. And this year in Minneapolis, the performer was Bruno Mars, who suggested that maybe Atlanta should take advantage of its hip-hop community and have a halftime show with hip-hop artists from Atlanta. So can you tell us who's going to be performing at halftime?
I call a timeout here.
Okay.
Sorry. It was actually Justin Timberlake.
Oh, Justin Timberlake.
Was the halftime. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Justin thank Timberlake you, because I would have done that. Yeah. Thank you for getting me.
Bruno did do the text.
Yes.
I mean, the tweet. That
the
you
tweet,
about.
But Justin did it, because I remember him halftime. Performing. I was looking at it.
Yeah.
So what, you know, it was suggested by Bruno Mars that hip-hop artists should do Atlanta. So where do we stand with that now?
You know, that's one of the areas that kind of like putting volunteers in the game. We don't get a whole lot of say in the halftime. We certainly get a lot of ideas, a lot of suggestions. You know, I think your point about the really the diversity of the music culture here in Atlanta leads to exactly what you've seen over the last couple of Super Bowls. So we don't know where that will land. I think there's obviously a lot of great opportunities with some of the great artists here on the hip-hop side, on the country music side, and on the pop side. To see which direction they go with that. What we do know is that music will be a big part of not only the halftime show itself, but some of those events leading up to the game as well. And as we look to activate, and we talked about live, which will be our free kind of Super Bowl live activation that we'll do in the downtown area, music will be a component of that. And we're certainly going to look for ways to tap into that local music community because there are so many great artists over so many different types of music that we want to make sure that we engage. Because this is one thing I've learned working in sports. When you start talking about music and the music that you play at a game, you can never make everybody happy.
That's
so
true.
The more different types of music and the different types of groups that we can bring in and be a part of this, to me, is the better, because that way, again, everybody can feel like they had a piece and a part of the Super Bowl.
So who makes the decision about the halftime show? The host committee or the NFL?
That's all the NFL. That goes all the way to the top.
Oh, man. You can suggest, right?
Oh, we'll certainly pass along any suggestions that we get. And I think they saw Bruno's tweets as well, so they know where he's coming from.
Well, you know, the city downtown has changed so much, even since 2000. When I look around and you see the Center for Civil and Human Rights, you see CNN has been there for a while, but also the Koch Museum, you've got the aquarium, you have so much more that's centered right around the stadium now. How will that play into your plans?
You know, I think that's what makes Atlanta a unique city for hosting this type of an event. I don't think there's another city in the country that has the type of campus downtown that we have. You know, a lot of that started with the visionary leadership back at the Olympics. And again, creating Centennial Olympic Park at that time, which now we see when we talk about legacy and leaving a legacy, that is such a visible and important part of the legacy of sports here in Atlanta and what that park has meant to the downtown area. And then as you walk right across the street, and you now have the College Football Hall of Fame that leads you to the Georgia World Congress Center. Across the street from that is Phillips Arena. And then down at the end of the block, you have the brand new magnificent Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So we've created such a walkable downtown campus for these special events that really just has people lined up. That's why you see the college football playoff here this past January. You've got the NFL coming next February, followed right on the heels of that in 2020 by the NCAA with the men's Final Four. This is a market people want to come to. They love the large hotels that we have downtown, the number of rooms we have there. It's easy to hop on MARTA from the airport and get into downtown. You don't have to get in a car after that. You can walk everywhere. All of the events and activities will be taking place down on the Congress Center campus. It just makes for the perfect city and the perfect venue to put this game on.
When you think about the hotel rooms alone, when I look at how many new hotels have just popped up on Marietta Street.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, obviously, you talk about Minnesota and the experience up there, and they had a great time. But Minnesota is not as big a city as Atlanta. It doesn't have quite the same number of venues. It doesn't have quite the same number of hotel rooms. And so the number of people coming into town is still giant. You know, you're talking a couple hundred thousand people potentially over the course of that weekend. They all have to stay somewhere. And so it pushes them out in some of the smaller cities to further away from the downtown core to find those hotel rooms. We're fortunate here in Atlanta that within the perimeter, we've got, you know, thousands of hotel rooms. And so that's just a huge piece of it, again, going back to with the campus and then all those hotel rooms and the ease of mass transportation. It just makes Atlanta a great, great city for these kind of things.
You know what I was surprised to find out when I was preparing for this is that you all have to pay for your own tickets to the game.
Yes. Yeah, nothing's free.
You get nothing free.
Nope. We get access to a few that we have to pay for. And that's how we use those tickets to help, you know, do that fundraising. So, as you know, you mentioned the amount of money that we have as a host committee to spend to put the game on. The one thing we do have to try to leverage that is a handful of tickets that we try to maximize the value of those to get all the work done we need to get done.
So what will the Super Bowl mean to the city of Atlanta in terms of dollars and cents? What will it bring to the community in terms of dollars and cents? Is there any way to figure that out?
You know, those are always challenging questions. We have engaged a economist at Georgia State University to do an economic impact study, and he came back with numbers of approximately $180 million or so, which we feel very good about. We feel are very conservative. You have that many people coming into a city like this and packing it in. Obviously, the price of everything goes up. Super Bowl weekend, there's that Super Bowl premium. And so a lot of times you'll hear arguments on both sides of that. At the end of the day, we know that the downtown businesses, you know, all the way up into Buckhead, anything, you know, around the perimeter, we'll see an influx of fans, of people, of folks out doing things, participating, renting cars, eating out. So we know there'll be a huge impact, and we just are glad that we can bring that kind of an event here to the town, because to show the investment that they've made in this infrastructure with things, like we said, like with MARTA, the downtown campus at the Congress Center, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that's the reward that comes from making those kinds of decisions.
I guess the next question for both of you, once this is finished, you think you want to bid again?
Of course. Of course. We're competitive and we think we're the best. So, of course, we want to bid again.
Yeah, I cannot see the Super Bowl not returning to Atlanta in much less than 19 years since the last one. I think it'll be here much sooner than that. Again, with the stadium, a brand new stadium coming online, We're going to show them the Southern hospitality that we know we're famous for here in the upcoming year. I think they'll be ready to come back here as soon as they can.
Great. Thank you both so much. And if people want to volunteer or to learn information, just go to www.atlsuperbowl53.com and just click on the volunteer if you want to volunteer. You both have just been great. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for having us.
No, good stuff.